From Directions Media, this is Directions on the News for Tuesday, November 3rd, 2009. Each week, this podcast examines news and trends as we try to make sense of the marketplace for all things location. This is Adina Schutzberg in Somerville, Massachusetts.
And this is Joe Francica in Huntsville, Alabama.
This week, we take a hard look at geodata from the consumer's perspective. What do consumers know about it, and what does this mean for the future of applications they'll choose for use for personal and professional tasks? But first, a word from our sponsor.
This podcast is brought to you by ESRI. Discover and share geographic content by joining ArcGIS Online, a web-based repository of maps, layers, tools, and more. For more information, visit www.esri.com/AGOLsharing.
Now, I began to think about geodata and data quality from the consumer perspective early in October when Google made the switch in Google Maps from using U.S. data from TeleAtlas to using its own data. I know it didn't change how I used Google Maps, and I used them exactly the same way, and I really didn't think twice about the fact that the data was coming from a different source. And I knew about that. In fact, I even contacted TeleAtlas to confirm that that was in fact the case. So I was very aware of the switch, and yet it made no difference how I used the application. And I'm not the only one who didn't have a change in behavior. And I want to quote a comment from Darren Clement, who's the CEO of Maponix, in response to a post I did on APB on some of the changes at Google. Darren writes, "You're right that most of us in the industry are probably still using Google Maps the same way we were before the announcement of late. But think about the 99% of the general population who don't even know that Google has switched their data source. That 99% never knew who TeleAtlas or Navtech were to begin with. So to them, this is really no news at all. They just keep on using their favorite online map platform. Presumably, people who buy $199 nav systems might be more likely to know who Navtech and TeleAtlas are, but even then, it's a minority, based on my informal quizzing of people I know. Google's strategy is likely to work regardless of what data underlies it, because consumers aren't aware of it. It's about the application." And I think Darren is exactly right. It's all about the application, and the underlying data doesn't seem to have any significant bearing on the consumer. And that was driven home to me this morning when I received a press release about a new application that runs on the BlackBerry called Disaster Alert, and it's from Skylab Mobile. And what it does is it tells you where the latest disasters are all around the world. And nowhere in the press release or on the website did it note the source of the data. So I emailed the company and asked the source of the data, and they did very quickly come back to me and had a list of some of the sources of the data, and including in their reply was, quote, "We did not put this," that is the list of sources, "on our website because it is not relevant as a selling point for the application," unquote. And at first that made me very frustrated and disappointed, but I have to fully agree. They're exactly right. It really doesn't matter. And I want to sort of use those two situations, the Google one and this one with Skylab Mobile, to ask the question, so if people really don't care about the source of the data, what does that mean for us today as geospatial applications are just exploding across every possible platform, and what does it mean as we go forward?
I think that's it's an interesting question, and let's take it one step at a time. Let's look at the geospatial professional. The baseline information that you typically find in an application may or may not rely on street data, and as a geospatial professional, do you really care what the source is? Now, you care if the data is not accurate enough and it doesn't match the data that you're trying to assemble, but that's almost separate from source information. Do you really care whether Navtech or TeleAtlas is the source? You're going to assume that one or the other is pretty darn accurate, and that you really don't care. You just want the data to match up with whatever you're trying to do. Your baseline data is important. The sources right now, as we know them, are pretty comparable. I think they're excellent data sources. And do you really care? I think that's the bigger question. I don't think I would care. From that standpoint, we judge these two providers as almost commodities. From the consumer side, it's even several layers removed. I don't think we really care so long as I get from point A to point B. The issue with having an Intel Inside branding like NAVTEQ tried to do with NAVTEQ on board is almost irrelevant. It seems to have disappeared, and maybe it's still there, but I don't know if it's on the Garmin unit boxes anymore. It used to be. But again, you're so far removed as a consumer from whether you care about the source is almost.
So does anything matter to the consumer? Does the consumer care, for example, that Google in its latest revamping now has that report a problem link where they can immediately, if they find something that's wrong, at least send off an email and say, hey, this is wrong?
You know, I think it would really have to bug me to hit that little link and report a problem, unless it's a gross error in the database. I'm not sure I would use it at this point. What's the percentage of people that are actually going to use that link?
That's a really good question. So even that isn't a distinguisher, potentially, for the consumer. What does this say about data quality? Is data going to get better if people assume that all data is approximately equal and they don't really care whether the source is NAVTEQ or TeleAtlas or AND or OpenStreetMap or fill in your favorite data provider here?
Well, I think it's a given that all of the data providers that we know of today are going to make their data better, and I think it only starts with streets, right? All of these data providers will want to provide some sort of ancillary information along with their street centerline data, and there's going to be a presumption that street centerline is very, very good, and they are obviously racing to cover the world with as much good data to stitch together a complete worldwide network of streets. And that's just the starting. Because of the explosion, as you said, of applications, this ancillary information, which will be pinned to the underlying street centerline database, is really, really important as a differentiator, now that we know that streets in themselves is not the true differentiator.
Okay, so it's going to matter whose database is more up-to-date about whether or not the hotel that you're driving to in the middle of the night has, in fact, closed.
Yes, I think that's absolutely the case. And so many times from my own experiences, there have been pieces of my navigation that are just not correct, right? You know, that hotel is just not really around the bend, but it's around the bend and up the street. That's the part of the database, kind of that last mile thing, that I think will be improved. And like I said, I think it starts with the streets.
Will that level of detail help differentiate? I guess I'm trying to get at, what is it that's going to get people to care whose brand is related to the data?
No, I don't think people in the consumer doesn't care. I don't think they really do. All they want is that my... Yeah, well, they want good enough from their application provider. The application provider are the people that need to know that the NAVTEQs and TeleAtlases are getting them the data that they need. The consumer, I still don't think they care. It's going to be the apps people, the developers that are really going to have to make sure that their source provider is doing the best they can.
Okay, so that says to me that we're moving very quickly from, at one time, a relationship between the data provider and the consumer. And I'm thinking of back when I was a kid when, yeah, it mattered if you bought a Rand McNally Atlas or a National Geographic map, or in my family, you went to the AAA to get the triptych. Those were the brands that I knew, and those meant something. What's happening now as we move away from paper and we move to applications is that the relationship now, as you point out, is between the data provider and the application developer. And we, as the consumers, are going to go to that application developer. So as you point out, we care whether we're going to buy a Google application or use a free Google application, or whether we're going to buy one from TomTom, or we're going to buy one from Telenav or somebody like that.
Yeah, I think that is the relationship that's being developed right now. You may be in the mode to be switching providers. First of all, based on maybe there's a data set that you really want, and that provider is going to give it to you, or it could be just simply on price. With the Android app from Google being free, what's the differentiator? Well, it's not price anymore, so there's going to have to be something else.
Right, and interestingly, you know, we know that part of the reason that Google can do that for free is that it doesn't have to license the data, but the end users probably don't know and may not care. It's free. That's good.
Right. And if, again, if you're an Android user and you download that app, you know, you're not going to say, well, you know, really, I really want to pay for this app and I'm going to go to Telenav. You know, I don't see that happening.
So what does this say for the OpenStreetMaps of the world, that sort of model of crowdsourced data? Does that give it more of a chance to start showing up in our applications?
Well, again, I think it depends on the relationship with the developer. I think if OpenStreetMap can make a case that their baseline data is just as good as everybody else's, and they have, again, going beyond just the fact their pricing is competitive or it's free, then you go to the next level, which is, okay, what's your licensing constraints? So I think, again, there's that relationship with the developer and whether it's easy for that developer to get an application, assuming that the baseline data is as good as everybody else's.
And I think we're really starting to see the data companies that are really plugging in and paying attention doing just that. Martin Oldenhoff joined us at our conference at the beginning of October. The biggest thing that he wanted to talk about with relation to their data was about the licensing and how it was so different from the licensing from Telealis and Navtech. And just over the weekend, after Google made its announcement about its new free navigation application, there was a long and detailed discussion from the CEO of CloudMade about that data and how that data is different and how that data is specifically geared toward developers for the kinds of things that they want to do. So that whole B2B communication is really starting to rise up, and the conversations with the consumer are disappearing.
And going back to for a second to the consumer side, the user experience is going to be important. If you're just on a navigation website, a MapQuest or a Google, you still want that user experience to be good, and you want the information that you're going to gather from that relevant. But it's no longer just about the street centerline data. But now I'm going to be looking for other things. Is the aerial photography up to date? Is the POI database, the points of interest database, as clean and as current as it can be? So it's going to go beyond even those, you know, those things very quickly. Maybe it's going to be going to real-time information, traffic and weather and crime or whatever that is. It's going to be those extra layers that are going to make a difference to consumers.
And I think the other additional layers are going to be what you've referred to, other people have referred to, as infotainment.
Yeah.
Right. So some of the augmented reality kinds of things that we talked about last week, some of the sort of gaming qualities that you have like in a Foursquare. I think Waze is trying to make their data collection more like a game. It's a little Pac-Man kind of thing. Those are the kind of things that the consumer is going to be looking at far more than sort of this old discussion of data, which we've sort of come to the conclusion for the consumer is a commodity. And the real battle now is for the data providers to sell their vision of data, and that includes licensing and quality and points of information and all these other things, to those application developers.
But I don't want to leave the professional geospatial person out either, because they are going to have to provide information to somebody else. They're going to have to sell their work to an economic development commission, a city official, and how they present the information is still going to be very important. And they may want to start to include things like an augmented reality demonstration or something additional than your typical map. Just as the consumers are moving beyond their needs in terms of the applications they purchase, the geospatial professional is also going to have to be aware of the types of things they present to people to sell the value of geospatial information.
That's all the time we have today. But before we go, our sponsor, ESRI, would like you to know that Mapping for Everyone is a new ESRI website that gives people easy, step-by-step instructions to start making maps for free. The website provides tools to help you share your map with others, including an interactive map and access to spatial data and free web mapping APIs. To learn more or get started, visit www.esri.com/mapping. If you'd like to comment on today's podcast or suggest topics for future podcasts, you can reach us at editors@directionsmag.com, or you can leave a comment at Directions Magazine or All Points Blog. Thanks for joining us, and be sure to tell a friend.